T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Resort Release. We are on your side, providing you with the best possible solutions to break free of that timeshare obligation, legally and permanently. Each one of us at Resort Release carries an absolute responsibility to help you every step of the way, educating and guiding you in the process of your timeshare transfer or timeshare cancellation. When it comes to timeshare freedom, you are in the best hands with Resort Release.
Release your timeshare today. Call Resort Release at 844-400-4CEO. That's 844-400-4236, 844-400-4CEO, or resortrelease.com.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
WZGC and WZGC HD1 Atlanta. This is 92.9 The Game.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here we go. It's going to be a good Friday. I can tell it's going to be a fun weekend, even with a little bit of rain darting in and out of good old Atlanta, GA. Good morning to you. Welcome to the Kia Studios Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh, what up?
Good morning. I'm a little nervous this morning.
Nervous about what?
Yeah, man, our fearless leader. Well, not our fearless leader, Terry Fox, but the underboss, uh-huh. Sean Thompson, asked me last week to be the master of ceremonies. You know, the Special Olympics is about to start this weekend.
Right.
So he asked me to be the master of ceremonies. And so I was like, okay, that's fine. He said, hey, all you got to do, he said, they just want you to walk out with the athletes. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Somebody hit me up on Twitter last night and said, yeah, you know, I got to pass the mic to you today. And I'm like, pass the mic? And say what? What am I going to do? Whether you believe it or not, I know I do radio every day. I'll get nervous in front of crowds. Like, seriously, it's different when you're sitting in a studio and you don't have to look at anybody. But I get nervous in front of crowds, man. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm a little nervous because I don't know. I don't know what's going to come out my mouth. And I'm nervous. No, I get nervous there. I just get nervous. I'm getting nervous right now just thinking about speaking to kids. I just do. Because kids are like, they're looking at you. They can see through you. And it just makes me a little nervous that kids be able to do that. So I'm a little nervous about this today.
All you got to do is tell them how proud of you. You're just proud of those guys. I mean, because you are. I mean,
I don't know, man. I mean, it's just a little nervous. Just a little nervous. I don't know. I mean, I know that sounds easy, but it's a little different when you get up there. It's a little different. I'm a little nervous about that.
Just look up their motto and play off their motto, and you'll be fine. You know, it's all good. I mean, you'll be. It sounds easier than it really is,
but I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous about that day. But I'm going to have fun. You know, I'm going to be the MC, the master ceremony, so we get to walk out. So that's going to be pretty cool, you know, starting at that. But, yeah, when they told me I had to speak, I was not prepared for that. I was just prepared to, like you know how you do the pageant lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just walk out and you shake your hand, right. And somebody else, you know, mm-hmm. like you're walking with the kids, maybe carry the flag or the banner or something,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, shake, kiss a few babies and stuff, and just keep it moving. They said, no, you got to say a few words. Oh, man, come on. I'm not prepared. I didn't write anything. So I guess I got a couple hours. I guess I got about 10 hours to figure out what I'm gonna do. What? Daryl, I'm trying to tell you. This is nerve-wracking for me. Yes, Daryl raising his hand.
All you have to do, Hugh, is do what John Fricke said. It's not even a speech, man. It's just a couple of words, man. Let them know how happy you are to see them. Let them know that they've reached that accomplishment of the Special
You're
Olympics.
Very proud of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna channel my inner Shane Falco. Pain Hills?
No.
No.
Kicks Dig Scars?
No.
Glory. What was it? Glory. Glory lasts forever. I'm just going to hit with a bunch of cliches, man. That's probably my best bet. So a whole bunch of sports cliches. You know, we are the champions of the world.
Well, look, their motto is, let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. All right? Just play off that. You'll be fine. You're brave in the attempt. I mean,
that sounds good, too. We'll throw that one out there. We're going to throw that one out there.
Just repeat their motto.
Anyway, I throw out a little Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you last. Shake and bake. You know what I mean? Shake and bake! Do something like that. No, but it's going to be a fun day, man. I'm excited about it. But no, I am a little nervous, though. I am a little nervous, but I am excited.
Don't pray to the young baby Jesus.
No. I'm coming at you like Spider Monkey, Chip.
No. No, don't do that. Don't be the kids.
Say, make sure you come at folks like Spider Monkey.
Yeah. Okay, I know. We can sit here.
Yeah, I got to figure it out. But no, it's going to be fun, though, man. It's definitely going to be fun. And I can't wait to be a part of it.
Now, whatever else is on your weekend, of course, Braves rained out last night. We'll have the Marlins. That'll be part of this weekend. Atlanta, you know, so the Braves are in town this weekend against the Marlins. You have Atlanta United playing on Sunday against the New York Red Bulls. Or maybe you're going to have a TV weekend and you're just going to be working in your yard and maybe the NBA Conference Finals, which took yesterday and today off, which is kind of odd.
No, it's not, John. This is what they do. They drag it out.
No kidding.
Because guess what's going to happen Saturday night, wherever you are? Because, you know, there's some graduations and stuff still going on and graduation parties and stuff. Guess what you're going to be doing if you're a avid NBA fan? You're going to be watching on your smartphone. You're going to be somewhere tuned in to that Cavs-Celtics game, definitely. Because LeBron James, you don't want to be down 3-0. You don't want to be down 3-0. And we've seen LeBron James in the past come out, you know, and have epic games. He had one the other night, the second game, game two, but it wasn't enough. So now you're going to see what he has to do in order to get some life, to get a win. That's the thing that you want to see.
Well, and then you have the Preakness tomorrow, which is second leg of the Triple Crown. And if Justify, which is an overwhelming favorite, wins, then everybody will be locked in for 3 weeks to the Belmont Stakes. And can we have another Triple Crown winner? And so horse racing will suddenly become a thing everybody's interested in. But, I mean, a lot of people are interested. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people are interested in horse racing. But I'm just saying, then America really gets – it's when you win the first two, right, that everybody locks in.
Yeah.
Right.
And everybody starts to talk about this has always fascinated me. Like, they talk about horses as athletes. Like, you know, they'll talk for – like, who is Secretariat?
Mm-hmm.
Secretariat is, like, one of the 100 greatest athletes of all time. To me, that is bananas.
I think he actually, Secretariat at one point, was voted the number one athlete of all time by Sports Illustrated, if I'm not mistaken.
And you know what the funny thing about it is? When you talk about performance-enhancing drugs and all this kind of stuff, that's basically what horses, they grow up on, performance-enhancing drugs, to make them run fast
right,
and all this
LASIK
stuff.
And all that kind of
yeah,
stuff, right?
Yeah, but that's what they do. But it's just fascinating to me. But, yeah, that's when people start to lock in when it comes to the horse races.
Yeah, well, Secretariat, you know what it is interesting in a way? The Secretariat, if you think about, like, the 100-yard dash or the mile or any of those, the high jump, anything you can think of that's, you know, marathons, we're always faster, right? I mean, we always get faster. We always break the record, and at some point we continue to break the human record.
Yeah.
Secretariat ran 1:59.3. At the Kentucky Derby in 1973. Nobody's ever run faster since. 45 years ago. And no horse has ever gotten faster than Secretary.
Yeah, that pure uncut back then Secretary was running. Hey, John, they had that pure uncut.
Is that what it was? They were tested for it back in those days.
They didn't cut it too much. It's not the same. Whatever the horses nowadays are using is just not the same as it used to be.
Hey, you mentioned graduation. When did graduation – I got a question because I was thinking about it. I had forgotten it until you mentioned it. When did graduation become a thing where dad has to spend – and thank God I don't anymore, but apparently maybe I do at college – has to spend like $1,000. But when I graduated high school, you know what? I went through –
$1,000 for what?
Well, there's the dinner. There's the
oh, John, you better up that then, bro. You talking about that for graduation? That's a drop in the bucket if Pop's paying.
Heck, I went to graduation
a couple grand.
When I graduated at Lithonia High, I mean, we were in the gym. Okay, let's start with that. It lasted about 20 minutes, and we went to the Shoney's. Okay, that was it.
You know what? You know what about graduation that I'm glad I don't have to deal with, because my daughters are older. Some of the prom dresses that the kids are wearing nowadays, or some of the outfits that they're wearing. I don't know if you look on the internet and see some of the outfits, but I understand trying to be creative. It's your last hoorah, but sometimes traditional is better. Some of these kids wear these dresses, man, and these young ladies. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that. You've seen them, and I know it's some parents out there that you want to allow your child to be, to express themselves, but some of that stuff is just too much, man. I mean, some of these dresses look like they look different. I'm gonna just leave it like that. They don't leave a lot to be imagined. Let me say that. Some of them are a little different. Definitely.
Yeah, and we're talking about young girls too.
Yeah. And I know some dads out there that when they see their young baby running around with that prom dress on, it you already know how the night's probably gonna end up. I mean, seriously. Because sorry, Daryl. But I'm trying to tell you, do you see some of these dresses, man? Have you seen some of them? Come on. That's all I'm saying. Just, you know, it's just times have changed.
Meanwhile, back to graduation. By the way, I remember, it's funny because I thought, if you were giving a graduation speech, now I know you don't like to speak in front of crowds, but if I were giving a graduation speech, I was thinking, what would I tell, the young grads coming out of college or something? The only piece of advice I would offer them is wherever you go to work, get into your 401k, max it out, and never, ever, ever touch it, okay?
That's smart. People don't realize, and I understand it's like you paying out that extra money or whatever, but that's for your future, and I guess people don't realize that. People don't realize how much money, you could potentially, sock away if you max out your 401k.
You have any, I know that you're probably, Social Security could be gone. I mean, I may not even be around in a few years. I have no idea. It could go bankrupt. And the next thing you know, you're going to go, what do I do?
You'd be too old to work.
I wish somebody had beaten that into my brain to max out my 401k when I was, because they had just, my generation was the first one to have 401ks. Our parents' generation didn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them were lucky enough to have pensions, but most of us, didn't. A lot of people didn't.
Oh, no, I remember, my first year in the league. Donald Evans, can never forget it. He used to tell me, max out your 401k all the time. I can hear his voice right now. Max out your 401k, man. Max out your 401k. Make sure you do that, man, whatever you do. And pay cash. If you can't afford it, pay cash for them cars, man. Don't buy them. Just like that. And he used to always say, just max out your 401k. And I did it. I did it every year. Because in the NFL, it was always 2-for-1. And every year it did.
2-for-1?
2-for-1.
Oh,
2-for-1.
Man, are you
and
lucky.
So when I did it, I would every year, that was the first thing that I did. I maxed out my 401k.
Wow.
So it was like, yeah.
Man, 2-for-1. I mean, if you can get 1-for-1, a dollar for dollar up to 4% or 6%, 2-for-1?
It was 2-for-1.
Man.
And I maxed that sucker out every year. That was the first thing I did. The first check that you got, made sure I maxed out my 401k. And then everything else was just gravy because, when I look at the breakdown now,
mm-hmm.
I could take my 401k now and, I can get a little, nice little piece of change every month if I wanted to. But if I wait like 8 years from now, it'll really, I could just sit back and just look at it and be like, yo, I'm chilling, real.
You can take it without penalty, I think, at 59 and a half?
I can take mine at 55.
Oh, not even that, man.
55.
No, I can't do that.
No, I could take, technically, John, I could have taken it last year. I could have taken it last year.
Wow.
But okay. I was like, no, I'm going to take it when I'm 55.
That's going to go faster than you think.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And it's going to be, then I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to be singing that song from The Wiz, Brand New Day.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get me a job at a grocery store bagging groceries, and I'm just going to cash that check.
The Braves didn't have anything to cash last night because of rain here in Atlanta, but we're going to tell you where the Braves stand. There's a lot of news about the Braves. We'll update you on that as we continue. It's going to be a busy weekend, going to be a fun Friday. I hope you're having a safe drive in on this Friday. John Fricke and Hugh Douglas from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9. The game going to be a big weekend. We talked about Atlanta United being at home, the NBA playoffs, the conference finals, the Preakness. Of course, the Braves are home against the Marlins. There's going to be, festivities. There's
Ooh,
a lot
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, there's going to be some festivities this
movies
weekend.
Movies and whatnot,
Yeah, Deadpool's coming out. And the Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated is having their Seersuckers and Sundresses this weekend. That's going to be, man, sundress season is going to be in full effect this weekend. So, yeah, that's going to be going on this weekend as well. So, yeah, that's a lot going on in Atlanta.
Yeah, and tonight, of course, the Braves will take on the Marlins this evening with Sean Newcomb on the mound, seeking his fifth win of the year and continuing what might be for Sean Newcomb a possible march to the All-Star game as he takes on Dan Straley and the Marlins at SunTrust Park. Now, yesterday, the Braves were rained out. That game was being made up on August the 30th, which for the Braves, just looking at the schedule, Hugh, the Braves play Tampa on the 29th at SunTrust Park. Then they'll play the Cubs in the makeup game on Thursday the 30th. Then they'll open a series against Pittsburgh on Friday the 31st. So they'll play three different teams at home in three different nights, so which is kind of unusual. But, you know, the series with the Cubs, which started with a makeup game on Monday, and then
now you got another makeup game. You ain't never going to get out of this series with the Cubs.
Never going to end.
You ain't never going to get out of this.
Braves still a half game up on first. Phillies won last night. A couple of notes about the Braves. Mike Soroka was supposed to pitch last night, but he was put on the 10-day DL with a strained pitching shoulder. Max Fried was recalled from the minors to take his place. Dansby Swanson had two hits last night in Rome as Rome beat Asheville 1-0 up at State Mutual Field. And Dansby could be back with the Braves tonight at SunTrust Park. And Anibal Sanchez has been sent to extended spring training, and they're saying he's about 10 days away, possibly, from rejoining the ball club. So the team's starting to get the good news and bad news kind of on the health front. Hopefully Soroka is okay with that strained shoulder and can get back, considering the impact that he made on this franchise. So a lot going on with the Braves. Big series against the Marlins. Hopefully they can continue to hold serve. And the one thing I want to see from the Braves is for them to become a little bit more of a dominant home team. That's the one thing I kind of want to see right now. They've been so great on the road, and at home they've been,
Well, I think it's only been a small sample size. Most of their games have been – they've been not been here that long. I mean, they haven't been here that much. But, you know, I mean, I guess that's all I can really say about that. They haven't really been here that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yesterday we were talking, and we had a poll about, you know, which team had the best young talent in town and got a lot of votes and a lot of chatter between all the fans of all the teams. And I think it's, you know, bright days ahead for all four franchises. And that includes, of course, you know, we talk about Atlanta United and what they have been able to accomplish in a year and, what, a year and 10 games or something, a year and 11 games. And the impact that they've had on this city. And the impact, of course, United's going to play against Sunday against the Red Bulls with the kick at 7 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and it will be another sellout, as every game has been a sellout. And so the New York Times wrote this big article, and I would actually encourage you to go read it. And the first two words out of the New York Times about how Atlanta United has reshaped Atlanta, Jay Riddle, our buddy Jay Riddle, is just how it starts. Jay Riddle, you know, and then it goes on from there. And so the United fans, Jay Riddle's part of the faction, one of the big supporters groups. So they write this article about how Atlanta United kind of transformed the city, and it's fine, and I want to give Atlanta United all the credit in the world. I just thought the article was a little condescending.
What do you mean, John?
Well, there was, you know, stuff in it about, you know, it almost seemed like, you know, well, I pulled two quotes here that I kind of, you know, it's like the New York Times can't just celebrate Atlanta United without taking a shot at the city.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I'll let you have it. What do you mean?
Well, one is, you know, Don Garber, commissioner of Major League Soccer, admits he was among those shocked by Atlanta United's success, which, and a lot of us were surprised, so I'm with him on that. His view of the city had remained stuck in the 1990s. Well, okay.
I mean, it's some, I'm going to go ahead and do a self-edit there. The one that I thought you were going to talk about is how they said something about it's not cool to be from Atlanta.
Yeah, that's
nobody,
the other one.
Nobody, it wasn't cool to be from. I beg to differ. Now, I will say this. I think that they're coming from the standpoint that Atlanta is a transplant city. I saw that. That's what I think that they were trying to say. But for whatever reason, they found it hard to just say Atlanta is a transplant city. And when people come here, you already have allegiances to different sports factions, different sports franchises. Like, you know, I've come from Philadelphia. I got a lot of friends that were Green Bay Packers fans. You know, whatever, fans of whatever team, baseball, everybody, basketball, whatever, Cleveland fans. But I think here, what Arthur Blank was able to do was make a franchise that everybody could feel that they could be a part of. You know, and with the rise of and popularity of soccer, to have a team like Atlanta United come in, and it allows everybody to be in one accord. No matter who you root for in American football or basketball, whatever, it just allows people to be on one accord. And another thing that I think what made it so successful is in reading the story is that Arthur Blank took his time to build this. It wasn't like all willy-nilly, I'm just going to throw a soccer club together. I was reading a story, they said Arthur Blank, he hired people for Atlanta United 2 years before he even got a team. So that way, he had the time and the patience and the pockets to be able to find the right people and get the right people for the job. And I think that's important, John. And not only that, when he built his stadium, he built it with Atlanta United in mind. Yes, it is a football stadium, but when you go in there, it feels like the home of Atlanta United. They don't feel like a second-class citizen when you go into that building. So much so that, you know, you walk around and you can see all kinds of indicators that, you know, soccer is played there. And I think that's important. I mean, I think it's important for them to feel equally yoked, Atlanta United, that is, as the football club here in Atlanta.
Well, one of the interesting things about Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you may not know, and we learned this, you know, in all those shows that we did down there with all the folks from Mercedes-Benz, is that Mercedes-Benz Stadium was built as a soccer stadium. Not as a football stadium, but as a soccer stadium. The reason was, the first thing we have to do is build it so that we could host a World Cup. Okay, we have to build it to all the FIFA regulations, and then from there we can rework it into a football stadium, which is what they do. Because if they had to try and rework it into a soccer stadium, remember the soccer pitch and everything is bigger, and so they built the bigger base first, and then they worked the smaller football base kind of into it. So yeah, it's a co-stadium. Now you tell anybody at AMB, at Arthur Blank, they're going to say Mercedes-Benz Stadium is a, you know, co-stadium. The Atlanta United and the Atlanta Falcons, they're co-tenants.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. And I think that's one of the things. And again, it allowed everybody here that was already here to feel like, you know, they're part of something new. I mean, you know, they're on the ground, they're at the beginning of something that was really great.
Yeah, you were talking about that one quote. I kind of looked him up on Twitter. His name is Michael Tavani. He is an entrepreneur in town, and I trust that he does very well. And I try not to ascribe things to people. His quote, this is Tavani's quote, who he was a transplant and entrepreneur and who works downtown. His quote was in the New York Times, "It wasn't cool to be from Atlanta." In other words, it almost sounds like Tavani in a way is saying, you know, it wasn't cool to be from Atlanta till we showed up. Dude, if that's how you really feel, get over yourself. I mean, seriously, get over yourself. Because, Michael, you know, you got to be careful what you say to reporters, because you may not feel this way, but when people read this, that does not make you look good. I'm just telling you, dude, because that does not sit well with me. I mean, Michael Tavani, it wasn't cool to be from Atlanta.
I didn't. Okay. You know, and I've gotten to the point now where when people say stuff like that doesn't bother me. But I understand where you're coming from when, you know, you say something like that. I don't know when it was not to be cool to be from Atlanta. I don't know. I don't know what Atlanta he's living in, but the one that I stay in, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, you know, and that's fair, John. His Atlanta is different than the one that me and you live in.
Right.
Probably
I
more than likely.
No, it absolutely
it's totally
is.
Different than yeah. the one me and you live in.
No,
so,
no,
you
it's,
know, he can have that.
But you know, and
maybe he needs to get out more.
You know, it's interesting to me. I think of Atlanta as a new city of the world. Okay, and this new city here. Well, it's a city of transplants. It's not a city. What is New York City?
The city of transplants.
Yeah. Italians and Irish and everything else that came into New York. It's a city of transplants. The only difference between New York and Atlanta is New York more established. That's it. Atlanta is this. I drove in this morning. And
more expensive.
And a lot more expensive.
And more dirty.
And a lot dirtier.
And the rats are much bigger. Much bigger.
The Coyotes have been taking care of those boys. Did you know that, by the way? Coyotes taking care. Oh, yeah, they got a problem in New York. The number of packs of coyotes that are coming down the train lines at night to go into the sewers. It was like, I read that story. I went, ooh, they got a coyote problem in Manhattan. Okay, that's interesting. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the article is worth a read, and it's very, you know, I mean, for the most part, the article is very complimentary of Atlanta United, but it's just so, it kind of reeks a little bit of, I don't want to ever say that when the New York Times, hoity-toity New York Times, ever says something nice about Atlanta that I want to complain about it, but it's just like, did you just discover this? Did you just figure this out? Or I don't know. It's just one of those things that just makes you shake your head and go, okay.
You know what it is? What I found out when most people come from up north, down south, they're not used to the southern hospitality. They're not used to people being friendly. So that kind of throws them off a little bit. So they always have something negative to say because they live in that area where, you know, they always had to be uptight and had to worry about somebody trying to, you know, jockey for their position or whatever. And down south, we say thank you and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. They don't like that.
We're going to say thank you if you come join us on Wednesday, June 6th at Topgolf in Midtown. We want you to sign up to come hit golf balls with us at Topgolf. It's going to be a big old party, and we want you to come take part, be with all the celebrities. Grady Jarrett's helping us put it on. All of us from the station are going to be there. Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Spoon, Spikes, Harry Douglas, Hugh Douglas, Derek Shelby, Ray Lewis is going to be there. A lot of stars are going to be there. And we want you to come with the Celebrity Topgolf event. It's on our website. Sign up today. Talk to your buddies about, hey, we should go hit Topgolf with the guys.
Still got places available. With some celebrities, you're going to hit some balls with some celebrities.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. When we get back, we'll tell you. That's coming up June 6th. We'll tell you what else today is besides Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay, let's do it.
We are giving away a $250,000.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the morning show.
Fools are kind of blind.
John and Hugh.
Thought everything was going all right.
This man is 66 today. And frankly, doesn't get the credit in a way in the music industry for being the megastar that he really is, because he's really a megastar. George Strait, whether you like George Strait or not, has had, I believe, Hugh, and without even looking here, it's his birthday, he's 66. George Strait has had 62 number one hits. Not top 40, not top 10. 62 number one hits.
That's impressive. That's real impressive.
Songs that everybody knows. I mean, everybody knows some of the George Strait songs. Everybody knows All My Exes Live in Texas, right? All my exes live in Texas. How would you not know? It's like it's songs you could not know. You know, I've got Oceanfront Property in Arizona. I mean, on and on and on. But anyway, George Strait is 66 today. Also celebrating a birthday today, and if today is your birthday, happy birthday. Reggie Jackson is 72, Mr. October.
Yeah. I met Reggie Jackson before, man. I was working at a radio station in Philadelphia, and we were at the Borgata. And he walked up to me. Like, at first, I didn't know who he was because we were doing the show, and I'm getting ready to do the show. And he walked up to me. He said, hey, man, I enjoyed watching when you played. And I looked. And you know how I was starstruck because I was like, damn, Reggie Jackson know who I am. I was like, wow. And he just walked away. And my co-host was like, dude, that was Reggie Jackson. And I was like, I know. I didn't take a picture. I just sat there with like a deer in the headlights because I just could not believe. I'm like, damn, Reggie Jackson know who I am. I was like, wow. I was just mind blown when he said that. Just walked up to me. Didn't say nothing to nobody, just had his coat on in his arm and said, hey, man, I enjoyed watching when you played, and walked away.
I just went to his Twitter. Now, can you imagine what – think about it if you don't know what Reggie Jackson's Twitter handle might be.
Mr. October?
At Mr. October. Bing, bing, bing. Hugh is a winner. But the one thing I think is most interesting is that at Mr. October on the Reggie Jackson Twitter, without looking, he's wearing a hat in his profile picture. What team is on that hat?
Oakland?
Nope. Nope, not the Yankees. Ready? The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, football fan.
Yeah, he's a Steelers fan, but still at the same time, you would think.
Man, that was like that was the coolest thing ever. Like, not that I think about it, I get goosebumps. Like, wow, he walked up to me. He was like, what's up? Because I remember him, like, Reggie used to own, I don't know if he still does, but he used to own a bunch of vintage cars. Used to have a bunch of them. And I think he lived in that area somewhere, up in New Jersey somewhere. So, yeah, it was just one of the coolest things ever to see that, to have him do that.
It is a Friday here ahead of the weekend, and we're just talking about some of the things that today is and some of the birthdays, including One Joseph Martinez. How about Joseph today turning 25 years old? And Joseph, who has become this dynamic player in Major League Soccer, and boy, some of the stuff that Joseph Martinez does on a soccer field, even makes me go, wow. I mean, because he is really a tremendous player. You know, we're so fortunate to have. You can make an argument that in some ways the two best players in Major League Soccer on the offensive end are in Atlanta United. I mean, Miggy Almiron and Joseph Martinez are. There's a reason that they're 1-2 in scoring in the league, because they're just that guy. But Joseph is 25 today. Tina Fey turns 48 today. It is Pizza Party Day, National Pizza Party. Anybody going to a pizza party? You going to hold a pizza party?
Sadly enough, I can't eat pizza. Not for a while. But I like the smell of pizza. I know that sounds really weird. But no, I'm not going to a pizza party, John. Not going to partake in any pizza parties anytime soon.
National Visit Your Relatives Day. Is that something you would partake in?
I go visit my relatives.
Uh-huh.
I will visit my relatives. Relatives are cool. All depends on which ones, though. But yeah, that's pretty cool. What else is it? What other day is it?
And I would save the best for last, because for Squid, today is NASCAR Day. Is this the day NASCAR was founded, or do you have any idea? I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Or did somebody decide?
No, you do it quite often, but I have no clue why it's NASCAR Day, to be honest with you. I know this weekend is their all-star race, so up in Charlotte, which is boring because Charlotte's one of the most boring tracks.
You don't like the Tri-Oval?
No, not at all.
I think you're missing a very important day, too, but go finish.
I think that they should move around for the all-star race like other sports do. It's the same thing every year for NASCAR. It's part of the thing that's kind of hurting them. Move it around. Have it at different tracks. Change it up a little bit. Personally, that's just me.
All right, so what are we missing out on you?
National Bike to Work Day. You know, I want to get a bike. Like, does anybody remember, and I think they probably still do, but do you remember when you used to go to, like, say, a Kmart or something like that, and you could buy a bike, a good bike, for, like, $90, $100? You go in the store now to buy a bike, John, you have to get a bike that's weight-specific. You have to get a bike whether or not it's a road bike or an off-road bike, and you're going to pay anywhere from $1,000 to probably $10,000 for a bicycle.
Wow.
Yes. Like, it all depends on how deep you want to go, how deep down to where you want to go. And for me, I was looking at buying a bike, man, but when they start talking about at least a grand, because I have to get a heavy-duty bike, and then you start talking about the titanium frames and all this other stuff, I'm like, I'm cool on a bike. Whew.
Man, no, I haven't had a bike in a long time. I hadn't thought about them being that expensive. But now that I think about it, yeah, I can see where
bikes are expensive now. Expensive.
We are talking about that New York Times article on, if you go to our Twitter at 929 The Game, we're chatting about it. We want to hear what you have to say on Joseph Martinez's birthday, that big article about Atlanta United. It's on our Twitter. It's brought to you by Vision Computers, where an average hold time is less than 15 seconds. Fine folks at Vision Computers. We discuss that again at 929. Go there and have a little chat with us. When we get back, the Falcons, do they have an issue on their roster? They may. We'll tell you what that issue might be next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.